One in three First Nations people have kidney disease. Most of them don't know. It's all about screening and getting yourself checked out regularly.
Welcome to First Nations Health, a podcast by the First Nations Health and Social Secretariat of Manitoba. I'm your host, Renata Mikons. Today, we're going to be speaking about Diabetes Integration Project through FINISM and also kidney health. And today, my guest is Interim Director of the Diabetes Integration Project, Tanis Cook. Welcome, Tanis.
Thank you, Renata.
Yeah, I'm so glad you could be with us here today. And I'm going to ask if you could introduce yourself a little bit more and tell us a little bit more about yourself before we get started.
Sure. My name is Tanis Cook. I'm a registered nurse. I've been a nurse for just over 10 years. A majority of my career has been in diabetes care. I've been with FINISM for about 5 years now. And when the director position opened up, I wanted to take it because I really believe in this project and I'm very excited to be in this role right now.
That's great. And I'm excited to talk to you. I'm always very interested in the information that you share and also a lot of the things that you're doing. It's really exciting work and important work as well in terms of our people and some of the initiatives that are going on. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation. We're going to be starting off talking about DIP, and then a little bit later on, we're going to be talking about kidney health and as well as a very exciting event that we're going to talk about later that is happening in summer 2024. So to start off, Tanis, I'd like to ask you if you could describe for us, what the Diabetes Integration Project is and just go into a little bit about what the different areas are too.
So way back in 1997, the leaders in Manitoba, the First Nations leaders in Manitoba declared diabetes an epidemic. And we were seeing more and more of First Nations people living on reserve being diagnosed with diabetes. So in 1999, the Manitoba First Nations Diabetes Leadership Council developed a strategy called a call to action. And this was to address the diabetes epidemic that was happening in Manitoba First Nations. So that strategy had five priority areas. The first one was prevention and promotion, care and treatment, gestational diabetes, which is diabetes while you're pregnant, research, surveillance, and evaluation. And then the fifth one was policy and infrastructure. So in August of 2006, the AMC Chiefs and Assembly passed a resolution supporting the development of the Diabetes Integration Project, or DIP, and this reflects the prevention and promotion priority component from that call to action. So since then, in 2016, DIP became part of FINISM, so now we merged together. DIP used to be its own standalone program, and now it's part of FINISM. We have teams of nurses. We have a North team, South team, and a Dauphin team. Ideally, it's two nurses. They go into communities. They set up appointments through usually the Aboriginal Diabetes Initiative worker who knows the community. They know the people in the community that have diabetes. So they set up appointments. And then our nurses come in with point of care machines. So they're able to do point of care testing right in their appointment. So we can tell people what their A1C is, what their average blood glucose is over the last 3 months. We're able to tell them how well their kidneys are working based on any protein in their urine that they might have. We're also able to look at their medications, seeing if there maybe might be a medication review that's needed. Like if their A1C is still really high, then their medications obviously aren't working too well for them. So we're able to refer them to a physician to get those medications reviewed and possibly their prescriptions changed. So the point of care testing is the biggest part of what we do, but then we also do a lot of education and just teaching people how to live well with diabetes.
So I just have one question while you're speaking to that. Are these for diabetes patients only, or is there an element of screening for those who are not yet diagnosed?
Well, right now, our referral system is people, once they're diagnosed with diabetes, they start coming into our program because our point of care testing is, it's only screening. It can't be diagnostic. So if we get a high A1C reading on our point of care machines, we can't say you have diabetes. We have to say you need to go get further testing, go talk to your doctor and see if you might need some follow-up blood work. So all of our clients are diagnosed with diabetes already.
And so you mentioned you have a Dip North team, South team, and Dauphin. And so they're visiting the regional communities in that area, correct?
We have 18 communities that we see right now. Just, we'd like to be going into every single community, but just based on funding restrictions, we can't. So in the South, part of our South team is Easterville, which doesn't kind of make sense, but it's easily, you can drive to it. So we put Easterville into the South communities. They also do Sandy Bay, Hollow Water, Long Plain, and Peguis. Our North team services God's Lake Narrows, God's River, Nelson House, Oxford House, and Split Lake. And then the Dauphin team services Ebb and Flow, Gambler, Keistikuwinen, Crane River, Pine Creek, Rolling River, Skounen, and Valley River, or Tutananawasbing.
So a lot of your nurses are out on the road most of the time.
Yes.
So just in terms of, we talked about the communities that you go to and the care, the point of care that they receive. And there is the element of education you're talking about as well, right?
Yeah. So a huge part of living with diabetes is learning everything there is to learn about diabetes. If you are just newly diagnosed and you're able to access an intense, like semi-intense education program where you're learning about diet, you're learning about nutrition and how the body works. If you are able to access that kind of information shortly after diagnosis, the chances of you living well with diabetes, not needing medication, stuff like that is a lot higher. If you're diagnosed with diabetes and you live for a few years before you start taking charge of your health and taking care of yourself, then your sugar levels may be so out of control that, you know, it doesn't matter what you do, you're kind of always going up and down with your glucose levels. But studies have shown that if you're able to get that education very early on and make those lifestyle changes right away, that your chances of living well with diabetes is a lot higher.
Just in terms of education, for those of us who are not receiving care from one of the DIP team nurses, what are some suggestions for people who may have recently been told that they have diabetes and need that education? Where can they find that?
I think it's really important when you first get diagnosed with diabetes is to start to keep a really thorough food journal, keeping track of what you're eating, what time you're eating, and then also monitoring your glucose levels using glucose monitors. It doesn't matter what the food is, it's going to affect everybody's glucose levels differently. So like if we were both to eat a strawberry, my glucose might go up to 6 or 7, yours might go up to 12. So knowing how those foods affect you is going to go a long way in you making those changes to your diet that's going to help you keep your glucose levels at a good level, healthy level.
Yeah, and that's a fruit. That's, you know, something that we're told we should eat our fruits and vegetables. And when it comes to diabetes, we actually have to be a lot more careful about what kind of foods that we're taking in, including fruits, right?
Yeah, fruits are naturally occurring sugars, but there's also a lot of fiber and other good stuff in fruits. If you are going to eat sugar, it should come naturally in your food, and it should include fiber as well, because fiber is going to slow down any glucose spikes that you might have. So just knowing those kinds of things, like pairing something that's really high in sugar, making sure there's some fiber in your on your plate as well to help absorb some of that glucose so that it doesn't cause your glucose levels to spike, because that's where a lot of that damage is done to your body when the glucose levels go so high so quickly and then it takes a long time for it to come down.
Mm. Well, I do know that we just had, you know, we're in 2024 right now, and earlier this spring, we had the Diabetes and Foot Care Conference, which was a really great and informative event that I had the opportunity to be attending and be there in person the whole time. And I had to say that I found it to be so informative about the importance of foot care as well, and understand that that's a part of the DIP team's role as well is foot care. And the one point that I kept hearing when our experts and presenters were speaking was to look at your patient's feet. And so could you tell us a little bit more about the foot care part?
Every First Nations community in Manitoba now should have access to foot care. I know just due to human resources, there's not always a foot care nurse available. But it took a long time to convince people that foot care funding was something that was needed. I was finally able to get to access that foot care. But the thing with foot care and diabetes, people see it only as you having high blood sugar. And really what it is, it's a disease that breaks down your blood vessels. Anywhere you, where you have really tiny little blood vessels, so in your hands, your feet, the things that are furthest away from your heart, they're going to have really, really tiny little blood vessels. And those are the ones that break down first. So something in your feet, tiny little blood vessels in your eyes, those are the ones that break down. So that's why people cause blindness. Sometimes they'll lose their foot to amputation because of ulcers and stuff like that. It's a vascular disease because your veins get so broken down from all the extra sugar in your blood that they eventually start to, so you get things like heart attacks and strokes and stuff like that. Like, because your blood vessels are everywhere. Everything is affected by diabetes. So the things you that are have the tiniest little blood vessels, like your eyes and your feet, those are the ones that you start to see complications in first.
And just in addition to speaking about the conference, we had a lot of ADI workers there as well, and nurses who work in community. What was some of the feedback that you heard from those who are working in community as well?
Well, I think that everybody was. Everybody enjoyed the conference. I think we had a lot of really great presenters there that were going to help them in their work. I know like the ADI people in our communities, they're very much underfunded as far as their position goes, very unsupported. I mean, there has been like the people at FNIB and the tribal councils do a lot to support them, but there's just so much more. I think based on the amount of responsibility and the onus that we put on the ADI people, like I think that they should be supported a lot more. So that's one thing with this conference is I was like, I want to do something for ADI, for the ADI people to come in, because it's always the nurses that get the seminars and stuff like that. And I know, especially with the DIP teams, we utilize the ADIs a lot. Like there's a lot on their shoulders. So we really wanted to do something to support them and allow them to come in and do some capacity building and get a break from their jobs too. So
mm-hmm. It was really well attended. And I think just the opportunity to be able to network and share best practices, mm-hmm. as well as the challenges that you're talking about too. Mm-hmm. But just to have that opportunity to share the best practices too, I think was really valuable for, you know, the ADI workers to hear from each other too.
For sure.
Yeah. So just moving along, we, you know, talked a lot about DIP and the work that the DIP team does across Manitoba and as well as with ADI workers in First Nations communities. I'd like to move on to talk about kidney health. And, you know, when we're talking about diabetes, kidney health, so many of us have loved ones, so many of us ourselves are impacted by diabetes, and that also goes into kidney health as well. So I was going to ask if you could please just kind of highlight about kidney health for First Nations people and where we're at right now.
We're not in a good place right now. I'll tell you that much. So one of the research projects that we are working on under DIP is the Kidney Check Project. 1 in 3 First Nations people have kidney disease. Most of them don't know. So the importance of screening your kidneys is becoming more and more obvious, because your kidneys can lose up to 80% of their function before you start showing any type of symptoms. And so there's a really high number of people who are called uninformed kidney patients. So they find out, they go to the doctor, maybe I noticed my face is getting really swollen, or my body's really swollen, I'm not sure what's going on. And they'll go get some blood work and the doctor's like, your kidneys are sick and you need to start dialysis. So within a few months, they go from feeling fine to being on dialysis. And so the importance of screening is huge. Kidney Check, what it is it's a mobile screening team. So they modeled it after the DIP program. And our screening nurses will go into communities. They're able to take, just poke your finger like they would to test your sugar. And with a small urine sample, we are able to tell you your risk of developing kidney disease in the next 5 years. If you have a medium or a high risk of developing kidney disease, you get a direct referral to a nephrologist in Manitoba. Especially now, just in the last few years, they've done clinical trials on drugs, and they weren't even halfway done where they're like, hey, we have enough evidence that medication that they have can delay the start of dialysis for up to 10 years. So if we're able to find people through the screening program where their kidneys are not doing so well and get them on medications, then we can delay the onset of the start of dialysis by up to a decade. Just imagine the difference in your life if you were seeing a nephrologist for 10 years and talking about your kidneys being sick and then saying, okay, you know, it's been 10 years, we might have to start thinking about dialysis now. The difference between that and being like, okay, we need to get you to the hospital right now. You're going to be starting dialysis today. Like, that's traumatic. So there's so many people who have suffered through that trauma of being fine one day and all of a sudden having to relocate to Winnipeg and be gone from their family for months at a time. So we want to make kidney check like a public health thing, just like colon check and breast check and all the other screenings that they have there.
So when it comes to kidney screening, in terms of who you're screening, how does that happen? Is it people who are experiencing symptoms, or is it general screening for everybody?
Everybody age 10 and up.
Okay.
Yeah. So we want to screen kids too, because we've also heard a lot of stories of kids who have, they may have high blood pressure, because you don't have to have diabetes to get kidney disease. It's another common misconception. Anybody, especially if you have high blood pressure, then your kidneys are probably suffering damage if you have uncontrolled blood pressure. So there's some kids out there who have high blood pressure and they don't know. So then there's people as young as 20, 30 years old who are having to start dialysis because they never had their blood pressure checked as a kid, right?
Wow.
So the screening is super important.
Okay. So just thinking about if I was, in community or off reserve, and I wasn't feeling right, what are some questions, or what should I say to my doctor about getting screened? Like, what should I be asking for if the doctor isn't prompting those tests for me?
Yeah. So if you talk to your doctor about kidney screening and he doesn't think that that's something you need, I would suggest filing a complaint, first of all, because any doctor, especially if you're a First Nations person and you're asking him to send you for kidney screening, he should do that. Every First Nations person should be screened at least once a year, once every 2 years, if your levels are normal. You want to know what your GFR is, so that's your glomerular filtration rate, but just remember GFR. That's an indication of how well your kidneys are working, as well as your A1C and your blood pressure. So they want to screen your urine to see if your kidneys are spilling out protein, because they shouldn't be. So if your kidneys are damaged, you're going to have things in your urine that shouldn't be there. And then they'll also check your blood for how your blood glucose is, and then what your GFR is. And with those three blood and urine tests, then they will be able to check your kidney function.
Well, thank you very much for that. I think when it comes to even access to different sources, I guess, of primary care in community too can vary, right? And so if you may not have a doctor in your community, you can talk to the health center, and there's people there that can direct you to getting that screening done as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One of the notes that I just wanted to mention, you're talking about children for the DIP, for the Diabetes Integration Project, and the work that the DIP team does, that is for adults only, right?
Right now it is, yeah. But we're looking to expand our services to include children.
Okay. On taking a tour at the children's hospital in this past year, it was noted that in the nephrology unit, I guess where the children have dialysis, 100% of the children are First Nations, which was really shocking. But they're going to be having a new unit there where it's renovated. It's going to be a space where family can be with the children in a larger area, and it's more culturally friendly. But it was a very shocking statistic to hear that every single one of those children is First Nations.
Mm-hmm.
it just goes to show that diabetes affects us right from a young age. And even at gestational diabetes, we're more at risk for that as well.
Yeah. And then if your mother was diabetic when she was pregnant with you, your risk goes up as well later in life of developing type 2.
Mm-hmm. Just in terms of kidney health, you know, you've talked a lot about the screening part and also how quickly it can happen. In terms of kidney health, is there any reversal? Is there any way that we can heal, the way we can at least keep the health of our kidneys at the level that they're at? What are ways that we could do that?
Sure. So for sure, try and cut salt out of your diet and exercise, staying away from non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs such as Advil and Naproxen, unless prescribed by your doctor. Those tend to be kind of hard on your kidneys. Basically, it's just trying to maintain a healthy lifestyle and getting screened, because you could live a perfectly healthy, normal lifestyle where you don't do anything fun or exciting, and you could still develop kidney disease. And then you could also party your whole life away and never get sick, right? So it's all about screening and getting yourself checked out regularly. Mm-hmm. Because there is no way to know if your kidneys are sick or not.
Okay, thank you for that, Tennis. So just in terms of the exciting event that I mentioned earlier, summer of 2024, we're having a big event that I'd like to share more about.
Sure, July 12th, 2024. One of the things I noticed is going around talking to people about kidney disease is that people don't really know a lot about it. So I wanted to have like an awareness walk and across every First Nation community to have everybody come together, learn about kidneys, learn about getting your kidneys checked and why you should get your kidneys checked, and just have a little kidney walk just to raise awareness, just to bring the communities together and to learn about kidney health and ways you can prevent kidney disease. So that's July 12th. We have t-shirts, green t-shirts that we want to send out so everybody can have a t-shirt to wear together on this walk and just learning about kidney disease so that we can hopefully try and keep our kids out of those dialysis units.
Yes, and awareness is so very important. So this event, the Kidney Walk, is taking place July 12th, and communities are invited and encouraged to plan kidney walks in community. And Tennis, just in terms of the t-shirts that are going to be shared with communities as well, they'll be shipped out to the health centers.
Yeah, Renee Carpenter is going to be calling all the ADI people in every community and just touching base with everybody. There were a lot of orders from our conference in February about t-shirts. So we have a lot of orders that we just have to start filling out and sending out. And if you want any more information about the walk, you can give us a call here at Finissim, or you can look out for Renee's email.
Okay, that sounds good. And so just if you want to learn more about Diabetes Integration Project, you can visit our website. We have a lot of information on there, including about DIP, about diabetes care, and as well as on our social media. You can find Finissim on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, and we share a lot of information on there, and we'll be having updates. As we get closer to the date, we'll be sharing a poster about this event where you can do a kidney walk in your community. So that's going to be coming up soon.
Yeah, and we'll have some prizes and stuff for all the communities that take part.
Awesome. That's exciting. Okay, we are coming to the near end of our podcast today, and I wanted to ask if there's anything else that you wanted to share and with.
I guess I really want to push the importance of screening. Talk to your friends and your family about getting screened. And if you live in a community where kidney check is coming, then make sure you make an appointment and go and get your kidneys checked.
Thank you very much, Tanis, for sharing information today about the Diabetes Integration Project, as well about kidney health. Very important for everybody, both young and old.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So with that, we'd like to thank everyone for listening, and we will see you on our next podcast.